Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
As you've heard, our parasha this week is entitled Metzorah, meaning leper. It primarily deals with ritual impurity, covering topics such as cleansing from skin diseases, houses with mold, male genital discharges, and female menstruation. All wonderful topics for Shabbat. While these laws might seem rather irrelevant today, they were pretty critical for Israel at that time because ritual impurity would limit a person's participation in worship at the tabernacle. One of the functions of the priest was to identify various forms of leprosy. Now, leprosy isn't just a skin condition, but it can be used to describe ritually impure conditions of the human skin, clothing, and even houses. In humans, it encompassed a variety of skin problems. In clothing and buildings, it was an invasive condition that could compromise and even destroy structural integrity. If leprosy was suspected, an individual was not free to self-diagnose, nor could a concerned family member or a friend make that diagnosis for them. Also, simply having the symptoms of leprosy did not automatically make a person ritually unclean or impure. Only the priest was qualified to inspect, diagnose, and then pronounce the individual or item leprous, hence the need for the considerable detail in these verses. The goal of the pronouncement was to protect the community and to eventually restore the individual or the home. If it was a person who was ritually impure, they would have to leave the camp and they would be isolated until the disease went away. The priest would also go outside the camp to visit and provide continuing care to the infected individual. Once the priest observed that there were no longer any signs of uncleanliness, the second examination would then be scheduled 7 days later. If he were found free of disease, the process of tahara or purification would then begin. And this was an elaborate procedure that involved a scarlet thread, a hyssop branch, a stick of cedar wood, a bowl of water, and two birds of the same type. By the end of the ritual, one bird is sacrificed and the other is released. The sprinkling of the hyssop by the priest recalled the blood of the Passover, and the two birds mirror the scapegoat of the Yom Kippur ritual. And in this manner, the individual purification process mirrored the purification process of the community of Israel, and healing ultimately meant restoration and being re-identified as a redeemed child of God. If it was a house that was suspected to be unclean, then the occupants would first remove all of its contents, lest they become unclean as well, and the priest would then be summoned to verify that the house was indeed unclean. If verified, the priest would lock up the house for 7 days, and if the mold disappeared, then the house was fine. But if nothing happened, or if the mold spread, the afflicted stones were then removed and they were replaced. The walls were replastered, and the house would remain locked up for another 7 days. If after the second visit, the mold had continued to spread, then the priest would declare the house ritually unclean, and it would be destroyed by burning. Now, the end of the parasha discusses how men and women were to be purified from bodily discharges. No, don't worry, we won't go over that. So, how can we apply these lessons to our walk with Messiah Yeshua today? Well, the New Testament teaches us that we are now Adonai's temple and that his spirit resides in us, which makes me wonder, how does he remain in us when we fall short in sin, as inevitably we all do? I believe the answer comes to us from the encounter that Yeshua had recorded in Luke chapter 8 with a woman who he healed from a condition of chronic bleeding. Mike talked about this last week in his parasha. Had Yeshua been a mere man, according to the laws of the Torah, her impurity would have transferred to him and he would have become unclean. But that didn't happen. Instead, she was cleansed and healed and Yeshua was unaffected. Likewise, in Matthew chapter 8, Yeshua healed and cleansed a leper, yet he himself never contracted leprosy. In fact, the way in which Yeshua chose to heal this leper is really significant. We all know that Yeshua could have just spoke a word and healed this man, but he deliberately reached out his hand and touched the man to heal him. For Yeshua to willingly touch a leper was a powerful statement, not only demonstrating his deity, but also that he cannot be made unclean And it also shows us the depth of his love for humanity. One of Satan's biggest lies is to not only make us feel like Yeshua can't heal us, but that he doesn't want to. We begin to tell ourselves that if we could just get our act together, that we'll finally be worthy of his help. But nothing could be further from the truth. Like the leper or the woman with the issue of blood, we are incapable of fixing ourselves, and we desperately need Yeshua to heal us. No matter how many chances you think you've missed, however many mistakes you've made, the Bible assures us that you are not beyond the reach of Yeshua's love. It's natural in moments where we feel that we've fallen short to run away from God. Adam and Eve did it. A lot of people have done it. But learning to stay put and to keep our eyes fixed on Yeshua, it can be a challenge. But for me, knowing that there is someone who will not only touch me, but fully embrace me during my leprous torment is an empowering and encouraging truth. In Romans, the second chapter, Rabbi Paul tells us that it is God's kindness that moves us to repentance. That kindness helps me to continue to run the race and not give up. The ministry of the Levitical priests in Parashat Metzorah is an earthly picture of the greater heavenly ministry and priesthood of Messiah Yeshua, who is even now, today, on our behalf, interceding, in whom we are declared clean. Shabbat shalom, everyone.